What is going on, all you constellations out there in the multiverse? You're listening to the Earth 16 Comics Wire podcast, a podcast about comics and where all comics and creators are celebrated. I am your host, Brian of Earth 16, and in this episode, I'll be doing some commentary on Robert Kirkman's comic, Negan Lives. Stay tuned. What's going on, you constellations out there in the multiverse? I hope you're all doing very well. I'm doing really good myself. Just to give you a heads up on my future podcast episodes. So I'm going to be doing the Osamu Tezuka and Spider-Man Clone Saga episodes in the future. It's just that they require a lot of reading. I've been doing a whole lot and not only reading though, but researching just to make sure I get everything right and get my facts straight. And so it's a ton of reading. It's a lot of work. And I promise I'll be able to post those episodes sometime within the next month or so. So they're being worked on right now. And I'm also going to post the episode with Patrick Lugo on his comic book, A Tiger's Tale. That's going to be posted next Friday. And it's going to be around the time where the Kickstarter for A Tiger's Tale comes out. And me and Patrick Lugo, it was a really fun conversation. We talked a whole lot about like how A Tiger's Tale came along and how it was syndicated in the martial arts magazine that he used to work for. And we just had a really fun conversation. We talked a whole lot about martial arts and his interactions with Shaolin monks and how everything has a kung fu. And like everything in life has a kung fu. So it was a really interesting conversation and I had a ton of fun. And I really had a ton of fun. And you guys are going to have fun just listening to it. In my opinion, it was a fun conversation. That's all I can say. And for those of you who don't know, A Tiger's Tale is a graphic novel about a tiger cub who goes on a redemption quest after he's banished from his home for basically being jealous at his human brothers for them just learning a whole lot of martial arts. So he goes on a redemption journey His brothers go along for the ride, and he just finds the meaning of becoming a meaning of what a tiger really is, just becoming a tiger. So I thought that was a pretty cool concept. And like I said, the comic's going to be on Kickstarter on February the 1st. So if you want to check it out, go to the Kickstarter site and type in A Tiger's Tale and it should be up. Another episode I'm looking forward to is Thistle, and I'm going to speak to the creators. We're still scheduling a time. I haven't heard back from them, but we're still scheduling time so we can chat. And that's a comic. Basically, it's a fantasy comic. And it's about war or dealing with post-war. So it's going to be another interesting one. And that one's going to be on Kickstarter as well. So having said all that, constant listeners, in this episode, I'm going to be covering Negan Lives, which is a comic book based on the Walking Dead character Negan. Now, in a couple episodes ago, I did cover Here's Negan, and I thought that was a really cool story, and this one is cool as well. And the comic's written by Walking Dead writer Robert Kirkman. It's penciled by Charlie Adlard. The gray tones were done by Cliff Rathburn, and the lettering was done by Russ Wooton, and the cover colors were done by Dave McCaig. And the synopsis for Negan Lives reads, and I quote, "Spurned by a slowly rebuilding society, Negan lives a life of desperate isolation, or does he? In the tradition of Here's Negan, this all-new story in Negan Lives number one gives readers a glimpse into what has happened to one of The Walking Dead's most popular characters in the time since his last appearance in Walking Dead number 174. So, in this segment, I'm going to be covering the character of Negan and just his history. I'm also going to be, of course, covering the comic itself and how it mirrors Walking Dead number 174. And I'm also going to cover how Negan is written in the comic and how that, by Robert Kirkman, how that juxtaposes with Charlie Adlard's art. And I thought it was really brilliant how both comics, Negan Lives and 174, did all that. And I'm going to explain more of that in detail. So after the break, I'm first going to be covering the character of Negan. So stay tuned, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going to talk about the parallels between Negan Lives and Walking Dead number 174. Now, both comics, Negan Lives and Walking Dead number 174, show a splash of Negan just talking all this big talk. And in 174, in spirit of this podcast, I don't want to say the quotes, because it's a whole lot of cursing and Negan does a whole lot of cursing. But basically, in both page number one of 174 and page number one of Negan Lives, you see him, a big splash of him, just a smirk on his face, and he's pointing as if he's pointing at the reader, and he's talking about how he's just basically being Negan and doing all this big talk. But then you see him talking to like flowers. In 174, it's sunflowers, whereas with Negan Lives, it's daisies. So I mean, there's one parallel right there. And in both issues, he's seen talking to the grave of Lucille, the baseball bat, but he speaks to the grave as if it was his wife, and he speaks to Lucille about being alone and how he struggles with that. And that's another parallel that these comics share, is just that talking to Lucille and just dealing with loneliness. And even in Negan Lives, I can also read I can read some quotes here. And he says, "Hey, lady, here I am again, flowers, sadness, paying my respects. You know the routine. This is what I do when I'm not eating, pooping, looking for something to eat, or looking for something to wipe poop off my butt with." I should read more. So sorry. I mean, it's a sad scene though. I mean, the reason why I kind of chuckle is because I'm trying to avoid cursing, because this guy, just even when he's in the sad state, he still goes off with his curse words and all that. Continuing, and Negan says, "I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I don't know why I'm still here. I don't know why I can't throw a belt over my door and just to end it all. I hate this. I hate being so alone. I hate this empty world. But most of all, I hate that I'm so scared of dying that somehow deep down, whether I admit it or not, I prefer this to being dead. I mean, I'm an atheist, and I know there's no golden house sitting on a fluffy white cloud where you're waiting to reunite with me. As nice and as a cloud a house sounds right now, about now, I know you're not up there looking down on me, seeing everything I do. If you were, sorry about the harem. That was kind of gross. But no, you're not watching me. There's no afterlife waiting for me. And I'm just here talking to a baseball bat. And I'm sorry, Lucille. I don't mean to take it out on you. I'm just having a bad day. I'm sure you understand. Same time tomorrow. Good." So that was a quote from Negan Lives. And in Walking Dead 174, he has a similar conversation too. And he says, and I quote, "I know you weren't much into flowers when you were alive, but then again, people change after the end of the world. Maybe if you would live, you'd have grown to appreciate a little beauty in this ugly world. Besides, there's not a whole lot of hell to do a lot these days. And frankly, there's not so much that I can do to honor you. And I'm attending to let you know that I'm thinking about you other than this. I'm always talking about you, Lucille. I want you to know that. I know the thing you say when something bad happens to someone you love is, 'I wish it happened to me instead.' Sometimes you mean it, and sometimes you don't, but I've been thinking a lot about how much I wish I had died and you had lived. You probably would have done things so much differently than I have. You probably would have been smarter about things. You probably would have ended up alone. No, I'm stronger than this. Same time tomorrow. Good." And you see, and especially with the art, you see that Negan with the art. And I think this is really interesting, because the juxtaposition between Robert Kirkman's writing and the art done, Charlie Adlard's art makes Negan look really ruthless. He still looks like his ruthless self, as if he was still leader of the Saviors, with his leather jacket and his muscular physique. He still looks very ruthless. He looks intimidating. But when he's talking, with the dialogue, he's grieving. As you can see, he's grieving, he's hurt, he's hurting, he's yearning for company. But after his actions as leader of the Saviors, he realizes he has to atone somehow. He has to live with what he did. And the juxtaposition is just that you see this intimidating dude, but yet he's just a shell of his former self. I mean, you don't want to say that he's a shell, but in a way he is. You know, he's been humbled. And he's been reduced to just being on his own, because when he was a leader of the Saviors, he had a crew behind him. He had people to bark orders to, but now he's just alone. And in Walking Dead 174, he searches for food, even kills a dog and eats it. And one day he finds a baseball bat, and at first he refuses, and he can't sleep just thinking about it. He loses sleep even thinking about the baseball bat, because remember, the barbed wire baseball bat that he had, he named after his late wife to kind of honor her. And he visits the grave again, and now we're going back to number 174. He visits Lucille's grave again. He says, "You're not a baseball bat. I'm talking to you like a crazy person, but you're my dead wife, Lucille. Not the baseball bat I named you after. That was just a baseball bat. I didn't love it. Not really. I can replace the bat. That's not replacing you. It's not." But then you see the in the couple panels, you see him running toward the barn where he found the baseball bat. And he feels invigorated again. And he says, I quote, "I am young again and I want to live." And he even tries to wrap it up with a baseball. He tries to wrap up the baseball bat with barbed wire that he happens to find. But then lo and behold, Maggie Green is right at his doorstep. And the two have this conversation about like how he killed Glenn. And she's just furious. Like, she has a gun to his head, wants to kill him. And Negan tries to apologize for what he did, and for a little while, Maggie's just silent. But then she just snaps at him, saying that, you know, "You're trying to gain sympathy from me. You know what you did, and I'm not going to fall for it." And Negan tries to tell her this is not an act, you know. And he starts to cry. He starts to realize what he did was wrong, and you know, in that fact that he even told her that, you know, he had to kill people in order to ensure his survival. And he tried, and then What's going on, constant listeners? Welcome back. Now we're going to go into the final segment of the podcast, in which we're going to talk about the parallels between Negan Lives and Walking Dead number 174. And there's a lot of things that these two comics share, and I think the main one is Negan dealing with his loneliness. And with Walking Dead number 174 and also Negan Lives, we see that in the first page, Negan is typical Negan. You see a big splash of him just pointing at the page as if he's pointing at the reader. And just talking this big talk. And in number 174, he says, "Okay, you're coming with me, you sexy." Don't want to say the bad word. But he has a smirk on his face, and he takes a shovel and he's using it to point directly to the reader, as if he's talking to the reader. But then he's seen as talking to a sunflower. And in Negan Lives, he's also doing the same thing. And he says, "Did you think I wouldn't come back? I hate to reveal my plans ahead of time. I prefer to keep people guessing, but you should know. I'll probably keep coming back until every last one of you, sorry peeps, is gone. I don't exactly expect you to take that as a good news, but it is what it is. And in the next page, you see him in the next page, in the next panel, you see him talking to some daisies. And one might think that maybe he's losing his mind. Maybe he's trying to relive the glory days of the time that he's leader of the saviors. But again, in both these issues, he's dealing with loneliness, and that's what these issues share. And the next couple of panels in number 174, you see him dealing with walkers. You see him trying to deal with his loneliness. And in one scene, he's talking to the grave of Lucille, which is where he buried his crushed baseball bat. I think in one of the issues, his baseball bat, Lucille, the barbed wire baseball bat, broke when he was fighting against Beta of the Whisperers. And he's seen talking to the grave and just dealing with loneliness, and he's just grieving, and he's trying to get through the day and trying to survive. He even kills a dog to eat, and he's just living alone at this house. And in several panels later in 174, he comes across a barn to find food, and he happens to find a baseball bat. And at first, he's just like, "No, I'm not going to do that again." And he's seen talking to Lucille's grave again, and saying that, you know, "I only buried a baseball bat. I didn't bury my dead wife." But sure enough, he runs back to the barn, and he feels invigorated when he finds the baseball bat, and he even finds a barbed wire to wrap it around again. But then he bumps into Maggie, and the two have sort of a heart-to-heart, but Maggie just wants to kill him too, though, you know, and he tries to tell her that, you know, that he's sorry for what he did, and she's still not buying it because she believes that he's only trying to gain her sympathy. But then ultimately, Negan starts to break down, and he wants Maggie to kill him. And especially after, because he knew he killed Glenn. He knew who Glenn was. And he brings up his name, and it angers Maggie. And he tries to get Maggie to kill him. But then ultimately, Megan relents and refuses to kill him. And then just leaves him there. And then she tells him that he'll have to live with what he'd done. Or, you know, he'll have to live with what he'd done. And it's a poetic scene, in a sense, that his ultimate punishment is not death, it's loneliness. And with Negan Lives, we see that he's still dealing with loneliness. He's picking out daisies to put on the grave of Lucille, just like he did with the sunflower to put on the grave of Lucille. And he's talking about dealing with how the world is empty and how he's alone. And when he comes back to his house, just like in 174, it's almost eerily similar. And what's really interesting about these two comics also too, is just that with Robert Kirkman's writing and Charlie Adler's art, you see a juxtaposition between that. And also the juxtaposition between Negan looking dominant, looking ruthless, looking intimidating, but yet when he speaks, it's like he's a shell of his former self. You don't want to say he's a shell, but in a sense he is. And he's just sad because obviously he's dealing with loneliness. He's dealing with the consequences of what he did. He's reaping what he sowed, basically, during the events of Walking Dead number 100, where he killed Glenn and several other people after that. So, and Negan Lives, while he goes back to his home after talking to Lucille again, he comes across this young woman who happens to actually be named Lucy. So it's sort of like, you know, it's just, you know, it's sort of like it's like circling back in a sense, because Lucy is short for Lucille. So it's kind of poetic. And the two begin to bond. But then Negan starts to notice that something's kind of weird. So over after eating dinner, he gives a rabbit hilariously. But after eating dinner, he begins to realize that Lucy is not alone. And sure enough, these two, and his suspicions are confirmed when two guys jump him, and they begin to beat him up. And Lucy is kind of telling them to stop, and they actually force him to dig up Lucille's grave. And when, as he's digging up the grave, he begins to talk about, you know, he begins to actually talk about like Lucille and all that, and you know how he, you know, just how he in several, I think in seeing several panels, so he actually talks about like how he lost Lucille when the apocalypse started, and he was saying like how he mistreated her, and you can tell he's pretty much regretting here, and that after losing Lucille, I'm reading off the comic, mind you, it just made him numb, and that's when he found the bat and named it after his wife, and just as a way to represent her. And then this gets Lucy very emotional, and you know, and he said that he laid the bat there to rest, and it was like laying Lucille, his real wife, you know, the actual Lucille, to rest. And one of the guys just picks on Negan, saying that, you know, that's just a really dumbest idea, you know, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. But then the walkers chomp on the guy and his friend, and Negan kills the guy and rescues Lucy. And, you know, and he's just, you know, Negan's still grieving because, you know, he calls the man stupid, and that he should have just shot him while he still had the chance, and he should have just killed him. And after all that, you know, Lucy, horrified and scared of Negan, just asks if he's going to kill her. But then he just tells her no. And he tells Lucy to get out of Lucille's grave. And he acknowledges that that's actually his wife's grave and not the grave of the bat. So ultimately, Negan, this is where he starts to come to grips with Lucille's death and finally, you know, puts her to rest. And he starts to further bond with Lucy, saying that, you know, that they're going to go on, you know, if he asks her if he would like to go on an adventure, if she would like to go on an adventure with him. And, you know, he ends up, and there's this big splash of him just having a huge smile on his face, saying that, don't you want to see what happens next? So it leaves off in a cliffhanger here of Negan and Lucy going off on their adventure, and who knows what they're going to encounter. I mean, it'd be really interesting if Robert Kirkman actually did another miniseries on Negan. I mean, Negan's just one of my, you know, it's just a really awesome character. He's one of my favorites, like I said. So little final thoughts here on Negan Lives we're going into right now. I just thought it was a poetic end to Negan's arc, Negan Lives, meeting Lucy and going off on an unknown adventure and realizing that he has a second chance in life. I'm wondering if we'll even see this in a TV series with the character played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan, just like we saw a rendition of Here's Negan. And because of the show, whenever I read Negan's speech balloons, I hear Jeffrey Dean Morgan's voice. So Negan, again, going back to, you know, just Negan's just one of my favorite villains next to Darth Vader, Lex Luthor, and in The Master and Doctor Who. He's ruthless, but he's also chivalrous, since he is a man of his word and despises inequities like rape or assault against women, or is seen in several issues in Walking Dead. He's against that. And because he's my favorite character, I happen to own an action figure of him that's hanging up on my shelf right now. And, you know, he pretty much just wants to save everyone. I mean, in his warped sense of justice, I guess, he's in a sense a hero, but he's really an anti-hero. So that's all I have to say about Negan. So that's going to wrap it up for the Earth 16 Comics Wire podcast. Hope you all enjoyed that segment that I did. If you do like the segment and you want to follow me on my social media, you can follow me on Twitter at Earth 16 Comics Wire. or excuse me, Earth 16 Podcast on Twitter, and on Instagram, you can follow me on Earth 16 Comics Wire, and TikTok, you can also follow me on Earth 16 Comics Wire as well. So, thank you so much for listening, to this segment. And as I say, to all you constant listeners out there, stay ever so awesome. This is Brian of Earth 16 signing out.